Today on the show, the truth is out. I was on Hard Quiz last night. I also saw Dev Patel's new movie, Monkey Man, and it was insane. Plus, I might be interviewing Frankie Muniz, and I'm really excited. All that and more on 20th Century Boy, the only podcast you can claim as a tax deduction. Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name is Quizio Mike, and this is the inside of my mind. Oh, welcome to the show. Sorry, there was no episode last week. There was an episode of Pat and Mike on this feed, which is, a companion show to this show that's out every Friday, and that was great, but there was no 20th Century Boy, which is like, basically, if you're new, hi, this podcast is just like a weekly blog entry of my life in audio form and video form on YouTube. You can watch me talk for 45 minutes a week. It's the conversations you wish you were having about the stuff that no one else cares about. That's what this podcast is, and I hope you enjoy it. More on Hard Quiz a little bit later in the show. But yeah, if you missed it, I was on an Australian quiz show called Hard Quiz, the world's best and worst kept secret, finally aired last night. I will talk about that shortly. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about last week. Obviously, as I said, no episode. Just had a really like tough week. And sometimes I think, with me at least, there's a lot going on in my mind that I don't realize or pick up on properly or acknowledge properly until like there's just one set off that like triggers it, and then like it turns into like a cave of like poor mental health that's like an incremental ticker that's ticking along. I always think of that book Atomic Habits by James Clear, which is like everyone's read it now. It's like the new buzz book where he talks about like compound interest of habits, right? And like if you do the same thing every day for a year, over that year, the compounding of that habit is going to either have a very positive or negative effect on you, right? And sometimes I feel like when you don't acknowledge like things that you're feeling, it just ends up compounding, and then bam, it all comes out and you just have a mental breakdown. So that's not fun. But I'm feeling a bit better now, and taking some good steps into like trying to manage my mental health a bit better. But thank you. No one really got upset, and everyone just listened to the Pat and Mike, which is great. Thank you for the support of the Pat and Mike show on the public feed. It was a Patreon show for some time. Patreon.com/RadioMike, support the show. It is a tough industry to be in. It is a tough job, rather, to be an independent podcaster. So any financial help would be fantastic. Mainly, though, in my personal life, I've just been trying to book this book stuff for this trip to Japan in 3 weeks. And I haven't been as organized as my Europe trip. I don't know what the output on this podcast is going to be while I'm there. I think I'm just going to pre-record 3 general episodes of the pod and put them out. We might not have Pat and Mike running while I'm away, but I'm away from the 21st of April, which is very, very soon. So, you know, keep an eye out for content. I don't like, you know, just stopping content completely while I'm away, but at the same time, like, I'm on holidays. Like, I'm a normal human and I need to, like, go on a break and a holiday. But I'm so excited for Japan. We have so many cool things coming up. It's my 4th trip there, but I haven't been there in 6 years. I went to Japan 3 times within 2 years because I really liked it. And so I haven't been there since 2018, but got so many fun things lined up that I just cannot wait for. And the food and just everything about it. Japan is awesome. Had a massive, like, frustrating evening the other night trying to book tickets to Universal Studios Osaka, which is like a must do. It's one of the best theme parks I've ever been to. And I've been there twice before. I've never encountered this issue in my life, but I actually was, I was speaking to Patreo Whitey, who is one of the executive producers on the Patreon and has been for a while, longtime friend of the show. And just through being a friend of the show, has just become like a proper friend, like an IRL friend of mine, which is great. But Whitey is also going to Japan at a similar time. We are catching up in Osaka. We're going to go to the Night Aquarium there. They have one of the biggest aquariums in the world, and they do like a night aquarium where like all the lights are down, which sounds very, very cool. So looking forward to hanging out with Patreo Whitey there. But essentially, like, I spoke to Whitey and he was like, oh, I spent like an hour and a half trying to get tickets to Universal because the website is so bad. And I remember Whitey told me that. And I was like, ah, oh, nah, Whitey's just an idiot. It's going to be easy. I'm sure it'll be very, very simple. I was wrong. I should have listened to Whitey. It was genuinely the most painful experience of my entire life. That's such an exaggeration, but you know where I'm coming from. So, like, basically, like, it's so unclear what you have to do, for one, because you have to buy, like, a pass, like an admission pass to get in. That's already, like, $100 per person, right? And then, basically, because they've just opened, like, recently they've opened the Super Nintendo World, where there's a few, it's Mario-themed, there's a bunch of Mario-themed rides. Of course I have to go there. There's also Harry Potter World there, which has an amazing ride, which is Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, which is just, like, if you don't like rides, you'll like this. It's so fun, but it's not, like, super scary or anything. It's just, like, a really fun ride. And because they're so popular, particularly the Nintendo World, as, like, tourist destinations, they now have, like, timed entry passes. So, like, you can't just open them to everyone at all times. It's like you have to buy a separate pass to get into those worlds, and you guaranteed entry at a certain time. So I'm like, yeah, we've got to get those. And they also come with, like, fast passes to all the rides as well. And you have to, like, if you know me, I'm a fast pass guy at a theme park. I will not stand in line at a theme park. Just give me a fast pass. And so, you know, we're like, I'm like, this seems relatively simple. Then quickly realize, oh no, the date that we've specifically blacked out to go to Universal, most of the passes to go to Super Nintendo World are sold out. I'm like, oh no. Please don't tell me we've left it this late. Managed to find, like, one of the passes that only gets you fast passes on four rides, but gets you into Harry Potter World and Super Nintendo World. Managed to get that, and it was available on the date that we're going to go. And I was like, oh, great, awesome. Locked it in, added another $500, $250 per person, which is a lot, bringing the total of paid to about $700. I'm like, okay, whatever, I'm on holidays, fuck it. Put in, like, my name, all my details, and then my credit card details, and I press pay, and it says, sorry, your card couldn't be accepted. Please check your details. I check my details. They're all correct. Submit again. Sorry, your card couldn't be accepted. That's weird. Okay, that's cool. I'll just use my debit card. Debit, put in all the details, didn't work. Same error message. That's weird. Okay, I'm going to go for my business card. Okay, claim it as a tax deduction, whatever. Business card, enter details, didn't work. Same issue. Okay, this is weird. Hang on a second. I think Whitey told me exactly this happened to him. That's weird. I go on Reddit. Lots of people encountering the same problem. Basically, it seems like, I think Japan at the moment is in a very, like, anti-tourist kind of perspective. I don't know why, but I don't think they're massive on tourism at the moment. And essentially, like, it feels like they're doing everything they can to keep tourists from booking tickets to touristy kind of things, because they've removed Apple Pay as a payment option, and they're not accepting, like, any international cards, so it becomes almost impossible to book. And everyone was saying, yep, tried, all my cards wouldn't work, just kept trying, like, 15 times, and on the 15th time it worked, with, like, no discernible reason why. So I'm, like, clicking and clicking and clicking, just wouldn't work. I was getting so frustrated, and I was literally, like, I actually texted Whitey, and I was like, I just think we're not going to be able to go. Like, I can't get a ticket. It's just not working. Like, I've got money in my account. It should go through. Bam, it didn't. And I'm like, what the hell? Why is this not working? Most frustrating moment of my entire life. spent literally an hour and a half, and I'm just like, oh my God. Anyway, ended up finding, like, it literally just would not accept my card, and I couldn't believe it. And this is like, heads up, if you're going to Japan and you want to go to Universal, this will probably happen to you. And I've never had this problem before when I've been in the past. And seriously, from there, I just found this website called Klook, which is like a travel experience booking thing, and they have an Australian division. And then I just booked it on there, and it took like 10 seconds. And then actually I texted Whitey, and I was like, oh, I actually just ended up booking on Klook. It took like 10 seconds, and they've already sent the tickets through. And Whitey was like, oh yeah, I saw that. I just didn't want to use it. So I could have just done that from the start. But anyway, like, what a shocking experience for Universal Studios Osaka. But at least we're going, and I cannot wait to be there. It is going to be epic. Look forward to some photos on Instagram of me having the absolute time of my life in Nintendo World. Okay, this is actually tough, but I'm going to do a separate video on this topic on YouTube, because basically I'm recording this on Wednesday morning, and I went on the TV show Hard Quiz. Very big, popular ABC show here in Australia, one of the highest rating primetime shows in the country, on every Wednesday night, hosted by Tom Gleason, who's one of my favorite comedians, who, you know, is like, his whole shtick is like, it's Hard Quiz. He's really like mean and blunt to the contestants in a very funny way. And his persona and brand and image really fit that. And Tom was like an absolute legend. So I went on the show. Now, because it hasn't aired yet at the time I'm recording, so I can't give any audio grabs or like walk through the episode with you, right? So I'm going to talk more about the experience I had, and then I'm going to do a separate video and probably audio feed where I actually run through the show, right? And like how I went and what I regret and what I said and everything like that. So my experience was really interesting, because I auditioned for Hard Quiz. It must have been in like 2021 or two. It was a long time ago. And I don't know what prompted me to do it. I love the show. If you're not familiar, anyone not in Australia, I don't know if you would have ever seen it. It's like an original format. And it's like everyone comes in with a special subject, sort of like Mastermind. And it's like, okay, my subject was Super Smash Brothers, the fighting game that I love. But you could have anything. Like, the other three people on my episode were Vegemite, Farlap, the racehorse, and LeBron James. So, like, you can really have any topic. And I always just loved the show. I always thought I knew a lot about Smash Bros. And a bunch of other stuff. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go on. Whatever. I'm going to audition, at least. So I auditioned, and I won't talk too much about the auditions, because they said they want to keep it a secret, like how the process, but you have like a big group audition, a smaller group audition, and then a one-on-one audition. And so I did the group audition, got called back for the small group audition where you have to talk about like your special subject, and then you have a one-on-one. And I got called back to the one-on-one, and then I did not hear from them for literally 2 years. So I was like, ah, that sucks. I guess I just didn't get in, but that's fine. And essentially, the other thing was, I remember at the time, this is just like, maybe I didn't want to get in on the fact that like, I am who I am or whatever. Like, I didn't want it to be like, oh, like I've used connections to get in, which I didn't. I actually didn't mention I never mentioned anyone that I worked with or for. The only time I mentioned it was in the final interview, where the last question they asked me was, what podcasts have you worked on, right? I never mentioned anything else from there, because I didn't want to like be like, have like connections in inverted commas that like got me through. So just, that's just more of a disclaimer. Like, I wanted to get in as me, like as my true self, not like because of my work or anything like that. And didn't hear from them 2 years. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Didn't get in. Anyway, then randomly, it must have been like, it's nearly a year ago now, I get a phone call from one of the producers, and they were like, hey, Mike, it's blah, blah from Hard Quiz. You auditioned a while ago. We'd really love for you to be a contestant. And I had forgotten all about it. So I was like, oh yeah, I auditioned for that. What the hell? And he was like, do you still want to do it? I'm like, yeah, okay. And he's like, yeah, great. Well, we've got you on this episode filming on this date. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. That sounds great. And I got really nervous. And so we filmed it in August last year. And it was like a week before I went on my Europe trip. And we kept it a secret. Like, I didn't want to talk about it then. I wanted to talk about it now when you could go and watch it. And basically, like, I was so nervous. And this is, like, maybe the more, like, self-reflective and philosophical part of this, right? These were my fears. One, I would make an idiot of myself. Two, I would be really ugly on TV. These are just my fears rolling off the top of my head, okay? Three, I would lose. The main thing was I would lose and be the first one eliminated, right? Those were basically the top three. And I kept saying to Claire, like, oh, maybe I can't do this, maybe I can't do this, and was going to pull out. But then she's like, just do it. It'll be fine. No matter what happens, it'll be fine. And that was really helpful. But I was very nervous. And what I did was I got in my head a lot and I just overthought it, right? I was really overthinking it. And essentially got to the day, went in, met the other contestants. They were all lovely. Met the producers and, you know, got into my outfit and stuff. It was really interesting because, like, you choose your outfit and then the stylists come and style you. They put makeup on you. They sticky tape, like, lapel mics to you. And, like, they kind of walk you through how the show works and everything like that. And, like, the first round is you get 5 questions on your special topic and you can steal from other people, which you get double points, but people can steal from you. And you also lose points if you answer incorrectly. So anyway, we got on and I was so anxious the whole time, overthinking it, really scared. And there was, like, you know, a studio, it's filmed in front of a live audience. So Claire came, my friend M came, and then Pat and Keelan came as well. And once I got behind, like, the podium with the other contestants, I felt a bit better. Then Tom Gleason came out and, like, then the show just sort of started. The first, like, 10 to 15 minutes of the show, like, it's more about, the show is less about the quiz and more about Tom Gleason just being funny and, like, ragging on the contestants. And Tom, like, spoke to us and, like, on the show, and he is, like, this isn't a brag, but, like, I feel like I got the most laughs of anyone of the contestants, and I was, like, maybe the most, like, funny, which is, like, just me being my own personality. And I kind of riffed back and forth with Tom a bit. I don't know how much they're going to leave into the edit, but it was really fun and funny. And as soon as I, like, was saying stuff and talking to Tom and hearing the live studio audience laughing in response to what I said, then I knew, like, okay, this is okay. And you know what? I'm having fun now. I'm actually enjoying myself. And my biggest fear, as I said, was going out first, being the first contestant to go out, because you get eliminated one by one and then there's one person standing of four. And then I thought, well, what, like, at the end of the day, you're here to have fun. Why does that even matter? Who cares? Someone has to go out first. And I was the first one to go out. I definitely overthought it. So I had 5 questions about Smash Bros and I got 4 out of 5. The thing is, I got so nervous and I realized a lot of the questions in these quiz shows, this is what I would do differently if I went back now. A lot of the questions in these quiz shows, they are written in a way that even if you don't really know anything about the topic, you could still get the answer. I will give you an example that I think, like, you kind of would just make an educated guess and it would be right. So one of my questions was, and I got it right, obviously, but this is, like, the level that I think pretty much everyone listening would get this. It's on the original Nintendo 64 cartridge for Super Smash Bros., Mario is pictured alongside which Pokemon, right? Now, the answer is Pikachu. And I feel like even if you didn't know anything about Smash Bros, you'd never seen that cartridge, the logical answer is would be Pikachu. Like, you wouldn't have... It wouldn't be any other Pokemon. Do you know what I mean? Like, Pikachu is, like, the mascot of Pokemon. Then the other one was, like... Another question I had, and again, I'll go through all these on the video I'm going to do, but it was on the... In the third Super Smash Brothers game, Super Smash Brothers Brawl, Sonic the Hedgehog joined the roster of characters who was originally from which Nintendo competitor, right? And even if you don't know anything, I reckon most people, or at least, you know, a bunch of people could go, oh, Sonic was from Sega. And that the answer was Sega, right? So I got that right. And then... So basically what was happening, so basically you have to sort of buzz in to steal from other people to get double points. I was too nervous to, I didn't trust myself enough. So maybe they'll show it. Like, you can see me try to buzz in to steal, but I leave it too late. Cause there were a few where I was like, I know what the answer to this is, but I just didn't trust myself and didn't want to risk it. And then I realized I was falling behind. So then I tried to steal, but got it wrong. Which basically, and then they do a multiple choice round just on random questions, and they were so hard, and I'm not even gonna like lie about this. I was blatantly like just looking at the person next to me, just copying their answers, because I was like, I'm gonna go out. I need as many points as possible. I wonder if they'll show it. They probably will just show it. You'll just see me like trying to copy. And I don't care. Like, there's no, you can't go to, I don't think you can go to jail for cheating in a quiz show that has no cash reward. Like, I get it if you cheat in Millionaire and you win the $1 million, like that guy did with the coughing. If you haven't like heard that story, it's great. Like, I get that you've like frauded a system and you've won $1 million fraudulently, and I understand that that is like against the rules of our society. Like, as a society, we accept, I think, that, like, you can't fraud a TV network out of $1 million in a quiz show. But there's no cash prize. So I was like, okay, you can cheat because there's no cash prize. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so I was the first one to go out. But that fear, the fear of being the first one to go out, right, was completely relinquished, right? And I actually remember because I had told Claire, I don't want to be the first one to go out. I don't want to be the first one to go out. And then you can see your scores, right? On the, there's like a screen that the contestants can see that show your scores. And like, I was, I could see that I was definitely going to be the last one out because I was losing. And I knew, Claire knew that was my biggest fear. So I look into the studio audience and see Claire and like smile at her. And she's just looking at me with like this intense look of panic and fear like, oh no, Mike's going to hate this. But at that point, I'd come to terms. I'm just like, yeah, this was so fun. I had so much fun doing this. My adrenaline is buzzing. The audience laughed at what I said. And like, I can't. What else could I have asked for than this, right? I had such a fun time and I didn't care. And the last round, if you get to the final two, they ask you harder questions on your expert topic. And I actually asked the producer and I was like, oh, if I get eliminated, can I know those questions? Because I still wanted to know what the questions were, because I would have loved to have seen how I would have went. But he said, no, because sometimes we ask the people who get eliminated and they come back for like a special called Battle of the Duds, and we just reuse the questions that we didn't use the first time. And I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. And I really wanted to know those questions, but obviously like I couldn't. But got eliminated, and then you just sort of like, you do a walk of shame, which is funny. And then you just like go sit by the side of the stage until the end, and then you redo like the photos and the intro and stuff. Really good experience. So much anxiety, but again, it's like that thing of like, you step outside your comfort zone just a little bit and you widen your comfort zone. And now I'm like, oh, that actually wasn't that bad. I was nervous and I was scared, but I think I mistook the nervousness and fear for like incompetence and me being an idiot and like all these negative feelings, but that anxiety and fear is just there to kind of like make you like, because it's new, because it's foreign, because it's something you've never done before. So it's like, yeah, like, this is scary, but I think it's going to be okay. And it was. And I was so grateful, like, that my friends and my partner came, and like the hype up guy of the audience, because those live tapings have like hype up guys for the audience. It's Ben Lomas. He does basically every show in Melbourne, at least. Like, Thank God You're Here. He used to do The 100. Oh no, he didn't do The 100. Sam Garlep did The 100. He does like The Cheap Seats. He does, Hard Quiz. Apparently he does like Q&A, the ABC political show. He's great at what he does. And he said to the audience, oh, Mike was really charismatic. We've got to get him back for Battle of the Duds. And like, putting it out, I would love to do it again and do Battle of the Duds and like apply everything I've learned this time. But yeah, I think overall the experience was just so great, and I'm so glad I did it. So I hope if you didn't watch it live broadcast, you can watch it now on ABC iView. If you're not in Australia, maybe just try a VPN into ABC iView. Otherwise, I reckon you could find it on the high seas if you're not in Australia. But yeah, I'm going to try and cut some content out of it as well and try and make some stuff. But yeah, thanks to the whole team there and like Tom Gleason and everything. And stay tuned, because I'll have a little bit more info on it in the coming days. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, two more things. First one is last night we went to the premiere of Dev Patel's director debut, Monkey Man, which was such an interesting movie. I went with producer Pat, who produces the show, obviously. Check out Pat and Mike. And it was at the Jam Factory on Chapel Street. This was a really interesting movie. We saw our mate, friend of the show, Dave Lee from Dave Lee Down Under, who we usually catch up with Dave at all these premieres. We just see him there, sit together. It's good. It's good fun. And Monkey Man was such an interesting movie because here's the thing. I love Dev Patel. I think this guy, you know, he was in Skins, the first couple seasons of Skins, and he was actually one of the more minor Skins characters. Like, he wasn't like a main focus, but he was in it, and he was really funny then. But easily could have just been like, you know, one of the guys in Skins that like doesn't like end up doing much after Skins. But he's probably the most successful actor, I would argue, from Skins, other than maybe Nicholas Hoult. I think he's quite big. He was in X-Men and stuff, but Dev Patel seems like he's, you know, he's definitely the forerunner there. Loved him in Slumdog Millionaire. If you haven't seen that movie, that is just one of the most like incredible movies ever. It is such a fantastic movie about a guy who grows up in the slums of India and ends up winning Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, funnily enough. And the whole movie is about how, you know, he's sitting there on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and the guy asks a question. It's like A, B, C, or D. And then it flashes back into this guy's life, his history, and there's a moment in his life and this story of his life growing up in the slums, which is where he got, why he knows the answer, right? Fascinating movie, really original, like, concept. It's great. And I always say, every time I go to a trivia night or anything like that, I often have a Slumdog Millionaire moment, right? Which is not quite the same as the Slumdog Millionaire's moments, but, like, you might get a question. Basically, if you hear a question at a trivia night, and they, and then you have a little flashback in your mind to where you found why you know the answer to that question. Like, that's what I call a Slumdog Millionaire moment. Example, I remember once I was going for a walk with my uncle, who's a scientist, and he was saying, oh, do you know why the Nobel Prize is called, do you know what? What did he say? He said, do you know who the Nobel Prize is named after? And I was like, oh, like, I guess someone called Nobel. I think it might be John Nobel. That could be wrong. But he's like, yeah, John Nobel. Do you know what he invented? And And I was like, no, he's like dynamite. Like he won, the Nobel Prize was given to him and named after him because he invented dynamite. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting fact. Surely enough, rewind, a fast forward, I'm at a trivia night, question comes up, what is the relationship between the Nobel Prize and dynamite? Bam, Slumdog Millionaire moment. I flash back to that moment and I come back and I'm like, he invented dynamite. So, you know, that's a Slumdog Millionaire moment. Anyway, that's irrelevant. Lion, which I've talked about at least once on this show before, one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life, starring Dev Patel, Australian film. Watch it if you haven't seen it. True story, unbelievable story. So, Dev Patel in Monkey Man makes his director debut. He's also the lead actor in it, multi-talented guy. And this movie, which I really didn't know anything about, I honestly like did not look into what it was about. It is essentially like, I'm trying to think, we were talking about it afterwards. It's like John Wick meets like Kill Bill and like a little bit of like, even maybe like Wolverine or like a superhero-esque origin story kind of vibe, right? And it's basically about this guy, Dev Patel, who is like trying to get revenge on the people who killed his mother when he was a child. But as you sort of go further into the movie and learn more about his childhood, like there's some really traumatic stuff that happened and it's absolutely like unbelievable. Some of the stuff that this character experiences as a kid, right? There's a lot of depth there. As I said, it's almost like a superhero origin story, like a Batman style origin story, with this character. Of course, there's no superpowers. It's set in reality. Like it's all kind of real, but just some incredible action scenes, incredible like fight choreography, just lots of like shaky kind of wavy camera, lots of like surrealism in like, you know, his memories and experiences. It's really, really fascinating movie. Like I'm still kind of processing it a lot, but visually just stunning. And Dev Patel, as always, just incredible, incredible performance, right? Like I said, it reminded me a bit of Kill Bill because Kill Bill, like that, you know how they say like, oh, Tarantino, like best director. Like Kill Bill, genuinely, when I watch it, I'm like, this is a good film. This is a good movie. You know, like I have favorite movies. I'm not necessarily a film buff. I like movies. So I have favorite movies like School of Rock, where I'm like, this is a good movie, but it's not like a cinematic marvel, right? Then you watch Kill Bill and you're like, oh, okay, this is why Tarantino is like the best. Like this is a very well-made film. Like it looks incredible. There's so much thought into it. And it reminded me a lot of Kill Bill in like the, you know, the camera decisions, the excessive amount of blood and like just unbelievably gory Mortal Kombat style murders at certain points, which were just absurdly like crazy to watch a lot of the time. But yeah, I think stylistically and structurally and visually and performance wise, and even like the music, it was just a ride. It was just an absolute ride from start to finish. And I really encourage people to go see it. Unless you don't like action movies with a lot of blood, then you probably shouldn't see this and you definitely won't like it. But Monkey Man is certainly something else in the realm of cinema. And apparently like a project that Dev Patel has been wanting to make for a very long time. It's based on something from Indian folklore as well. So just unbelievable film that I think everyone should go and see. Okay, one more thing today before we wrap. This is a segment that I actually started last week on the Pat and Mike show, but we'll be continuing here on TCB, and it's called this. Let me be frank with you.
Frank check!
So, of course, my favourite actor in the world, next to Dev Patel, is Frankie Muniz. who is currently in a bizarre twist of fate on the Australian version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And boy, oh boy, is this guy going great. Like, Frank is just, I mean, let me be frank with you, he's Franken killing it. Like, he's absolutely, absolutely killing it. And, like, I love this guy so much. Such a human, just such a rounded human. And, like, him talking about his experience is great. Because the thing is, a lot of the celebrities they get on this show, I think they want them to tell stories that will generate headlines that people will write about. And, like, Frankie's been great. Like, a lot of international headlines are picking up on stuff that he's saying in the jungle and stuff, which is great for him. I think it's awesome for his profile as well. And one of the things I found really interesting that he said on the show recently is he was asked about how his fame, his child fame from Malcolm in the Middle affected his family. Because, like, you know, as much as I love Frankie, I don't really know anything about his, like his family life or anything. And really heartfelt answer.
Frankie.
Yeah.
How did your fame from Malcolm affect your family?
That's an interesting one. I don't want to say I've never thought about it. Malcolm took us out to L.A. And me and my mom went, but my sister stayed with my dad in North Carolina. My mom and dad ended up getting a divorce. So in that sense, it's kind of sad to think about that it really separated the family completely. Like, it just hit me right now that, like, essentially it was my career that separated our whole family, you know? I don't know. Now that I think about it, I don't know how much positive it brought to the family.
I really like that. Like, I love this guy so much, and I hope you love him too, because, like, I just think hearing about his experience, because someone like this, I think, brings so much joy or has brought so much joy into so many people's lives. I said it last week on Pat and Mike, like, I think Frankie Muniz was, like, the pinnacle of child stars, at least for me and my generation. Like, a lot of the movies he were in were just so big for us, and I loved this guy, right? I loved Frankie. I still love Frankie. And you don't often, like, consider the human side of that and how, you know, he clearly has these feelings of, like, oh, my fame kind of ripped my family apart. And maybe even, like, what if I didn't do Malcolm in the Middle and didn't become a famous actor and child star and just, like, you know, left things, like, lived a normal life, what could have been different? But I guess, like, you know, that's the thing about life. You can't change things once they've happened, and that's something we all need to live with. However, I do have something kind of interesting on the Frankie front, because decided to go out on a wing from all my learnings from Hard Quiz about, you know, breaking through anxiety and fear. I was like, you know what? I genuinely love this guy so much. And I got on to one of my mates, Leon Shergan, who's a producer on the Fifi, Fev and Nick breakfast radio show here in Melbourne. He's the executive producer, rather, who's always been very helpful throughout my career. Great guy. He said, I said to Leon, because he's so well connected in this world of, like, Australian media, I was like, hey, mate, wondering if you can do me a favor. Do you know anyone who does PR for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? Because I would love to chat to Frankie Muniz and do, like, a proper interview with him. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. This is the person managing Melbourne publicity. Email her. I'll give her a heads up that you're emailing, and we'll go from there. So I write an email. Said, hi, name. My name is Mike. I'm a content creator, podcaster, and YouTuber with a focus on 90s, 2000s nostalgia content. I'm writing to check if there is any possibility of organizing an interview with Frankie Muniz, as I know you're looking after publicity for I'm a Celebrity. I am a huge Frankie Muniz fan and have been my whole life. I was beyond ecstatic when I saw he was coming into the jungle and have been watching every night. I'm actually going to be starting a weekly segment on my podcast called Frank Check, where I play the best snippets of Frankie from the show. Actually, Frankie Muniz retweeted a video I made about him once last year, where I talked about his amazing career and why he's so important to millennials and 90s kids. This is when my dream to interview him started. I'm a huge fan of all his work, from Malcolm in the Middle to Agent Cody Banks, Big Fat Liar, My Dog Skip, and his very short stint as a voice actor on The Fairly Odd Parents. That's something not many people know. My content reaches hundreds of thousands of people every month across YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, podcasts, and more, and it would be a life highlight to have even 10 minutes with Frankie. If this is something you can help me with, please let me know. I sent it out into the ether, and that's all you can do in these situations. And I get an email back. Hey, Mike, looping you in with this other person, she'll be on the ground in South Africa coordinating Frankie's interview schedule. Love that you're a huge fan. I'm sure Frankie will be stoked to speak to you. You're not the boss of me now, and you're not so big. Take that, society. There is a possibility, and I don't want to tease it too much because it could definitely fall flat, but there is a possibility that I may interview my childhood hero, Frankie Muniz, on this podcast. And if it comes through, it'll genuinely be like the best thing ever. I'm really excited, but I don't want to jinx it. So no one talk about it for a bit. Nah, talk about it, whatever. Let's do one of these. Psst, the plug. Hey, thanks for listening. Couple things. There was a movie club for March that came out featuring Michael Cambo Campbell from Cancelled Movie Report, which is a great podcast. Go and listen to that. It was on The Mummy, the 1999 version from Brendan Fraser, a classic movie for 90s kids, and that was a lot of fun to do. Plus, Cambo tells a story about how he ruined Neil Patrick Harris's night. So if that's not a tease, I don't know what is. The next movie club for April is Freddy Got Fingered, Pat's Choice. So watch that. That'll be coming out at the end of April. From there, Harry Potter and the Boys is back. And I also want to plug Sam Garlip's Comedy Fest show. If you're listening to this on the Thursday, there are two more nights, the Friday and the Saturday. Grab a ticket. It's such a good show. So please go comedyfestival.com.au, search Sam Garlip, grab yourself a ticket. Use code Harry for cheap tickets. That was for Harry Potter and the Boys listeners, but I'm throwing it here as well. From there, you can also listen to Pat and Mike tomorrow. Check out the YouTube channel. I'm going to be doing a video, I think, of course, on my hard quiz adventure, but I'm also going to be doing a video, I think, in the next week or so on why I think Malcolm in the Middle is actually such an underrated show. So I'd love for you to check that out. I think that is almost everything. Let me just check if I had anything. No, that's pretty much it. There'll be a bit of content on TikTok, Instagram, all of that stuff that we do. But for now, thank you so much for listening. My name's Radio Mike. This has been The Inside of My Mind. Catch you later.